2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I love how Lloyd and I have been doing radio for 14 years together, Ken, and he just gave you more than he's ever given me in my entire life. It's crazy.
You know I paid for golf for you once, right? You remember the BOGO, right?
No, you didn't.
I paid for yourself. Golf.
I got mine for free.
Exactly. When you split it with most friends.
It was a buy one, get one. But I'm just glad you didn't shark me like you sharked Ken. Ken, you got out and golfed with Lloyd?
I did. He let me play with him once. And, you know, I played 18 holes. My group played 18 holes. And Lloyd played 9 holes. And I believe birdied like the first and last hole on that 9. And then he just took off. He said, I'm done with you guys.
Ken, wanted to give you a taste of what's out there, what I can do. Just a small little taste.
You ducked out after 9 on our guy, Ken?
Well, I think I had to.
That's worse than
it might have been in
holding
the
door shut when Ken was trying to get into Vivint Arena.
I would never. No, that's not worse. Don't even go there, because that's worse.
No, ducking out after 9, that's an embarrassment.
Yeah, you feel bad when somebody leaves after 9 holes. You just feel like you've done something.
Yeah, I did this.
Right.
I did this. I can't thank you enough, Ken. This is so great. First of all, I just love our conversations when it's just on the phone. But for you to come down and give an hour of your time in the most busy time of your year, it means a lot to me. And I want to take advantage of this because everybody's out there trying to make themselves famous with their whatever business tournament or school tournament or friend tournament, but everybody wants to make themselves famous with this bracket. How many calls or how many requests do you get this time of year from friends like, help me, Ken, help me put this bracket together?
I get a few. Usually though, people are one and done, because the tournament is so crazy. Like, I will give them advice, and the sheer randomness of the tournament, though, after one tournament, I think my friends realize that there's only so much you can do. You know, if I had the ability to predict this with some sort of extreme accuracy, you know, I obviously would be making tons of money off this.
So I don't know if this happens to you. It tends to happen to me where I end up putting undue pressure on myself when I'm breaking college football games down. Like, I'll take every position group and I'll say, yeah, there's the advantage here and there's the advantage here. Yeah, my prediction, it's 35-14 at school X. And I put my prediction on it. And then I look around like, is everybody going to think I suck if I don't hit this? Does that weight sit on you? Like, you have every number in the book. And then you put together your bracket. Do you think about that?
Absolutely, for sure. And this event will make you look foolish. But, you know, you just try to put your neck out there on a few things, give some good advice, and hope for the best. But, I mean, the reason we love the event is that nobody is great at predicting it, and upsets happen, and a small school you never heard of can knock off a big school. So it makes it so much fun.
Is it true that there has never been a recorded official perfect bracket?
Yeah, there has never been one, and there never will be one.
There never will be one.
The odds, you know, you think, you know, hey, you're only picking 63 games. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. All the millions of people picking these games, like, somebody should get it all right. But when you do the math and you figure out the odds of actually picking a perfect bracket, it's like one in something quadrillion, which is a
past trillions,
a number with a lot of zeros after it. Yeah. So, if we play another, a million tournaments, nobody will get a perfect bracket.
I always wondered what insurance companies place on the million-dollar prize bracket.
I wonder that too. Yeah. I hope it's not a lot.
Because they know it's not going to hit.
Yeah.
It's way less than a hole-in-one. If you're sponsoring a hole-in-one on 18 holes and you're throwing a car on it, you've got a certain amount of insurance on that car, it's got to be way less.
Absolutely. As Lloyd can attest to, right? I think he's had two or three holes-in-one in his life. So
that just attests to
how much... He'll never get a perfect bracket.
That attests to how much golf he gets to play. No, you get to play a lot of golf. That's what he's saying. You play more golf than the average man because you've got a lot of free time.
And he's a natural talent.
He's a natural talent. And I know that he's just red-faced right now back in the studio wanting to punch me. Kim Pomeroy, the best in the business when it comes to college basketball. KimPom.com. It's the site that you can go to. You can learn all things college basketball. All right, let's start here. First things first. When people are trying to predict some of these games, what is one of the more accurate predictors when you're looking at a team's matchup?
Well, I mean, first of all, you can go to my website, kenpom.com, and just look at the power rankings. You know, offensive and defensive efficiency are the most important things to look at. We're just talking about points scored and points allowed per possession, so kind of like glorified scoring margin. But once you adjust that for schedule strength, that really gets you in the ballpark as to, which team should have the advantage in a game.
So that's what this does. It adjusts with the team because you've got conferences from all over the country and all walks of life that are included in this field of 64. So those adjustments take into account who the teams have played and who they've beaten by how much.
Absolutely. Yeah. Division I basketball is a vast universe, 363 teams. So there is quite a difference in the schedule strength from the best teams, the teams that play in the best conferences like the Big 12 to the teams that play in the worst conferences. I think this year was the Northeast Conference that ended up being the worst. So there's just tremendous difference in schedule strength. So, yeah, it's a big issue to try to correct for that.
Northeast Conference ended up being the bottom?
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson won that league, and that was the worst league this year.
I've never even heard of the team. Is this their first tournament appearance? Southern Utah's first tournament appearance?
Southern Utah did not make it. No, they are not their first tournament appearance.
Oh, I thought it was Southern Utah. Who was it?
Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon pulled off the win.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Southern Utah was right there for it.
They were
Grand
right there.
Canyon pulled off the win.
Yes.
So the Big 12, you said, is the top conference.
Correct.
How much better is the Big 12 going to be with the four entrants this upcoming season?
Well,
Houston, Cincinnati.
It'll BYU be close. I don't think they'll actually be better because they're so good right now. Like, 9 of their 10 teams are in the top 50. So it's just an amazing league. Houston, obviously, they're the number one league number one team in my system this year. So they will help. And then the other three, BYU, Cincinnati, UCF. I mean, they're all good teams. There's no slouches in that.
Cincinnati's always
three.
Good.
Yeah. But they actually will drag the league down slightly, but it still should be the best league in the country next year.
Really? So even with Houston as a one seed, with Cincinnati, who's always good, BYU, who's, they can be good, and they've got some pageantry.
Right.
I don't know a lot about Central Florida and their basketball history.
Not a lot of history there, but they're a decent program.
Even with all those accolades, you're saying that it will still drag the league down.
Right. That's how good the Big 12 is.
It's
been the number one rated league in my system eight of the last 10 years. So just consistently very, very good.
So 8 of the last 10 years, the number one league. How many out of the last 10 years did the champion come from that league?
That is a good question. I mean, they have the last two, Kansas last year, Baylor the year before.
So the last two. The most recent two.
Yeah, exactly. Prior to that, they have not had a champion since 2008, Kansas.
Okay. So previous two, Power League all the way across.
But for the last 5 years, they've had a Final Four team as well. So
okay, so a smart pick would be finding the best Big 12 team, what you perceive as the best Big 12 team, and at least taking a Big 12 team to the power or to the Final Four.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting this year because the Big 12, even though it's really good, it doesn't have like a top five team. The best teams in the league are Texas and Kansas, and they're both just outside the top five. Kansas actually the number one seed in the West, which and people thought they would get the number one overall seed. They did not get that, but put in the West region, which is easily the most difficult region of the four regions in this tournament. So it will be a little problematic to see if the Big 12 can get a Final Four team, because Kansas is going to have a very tough road. I mentioned Texas. They're the two seed in the Midwest. That is Houston's region, and Houston, you know, maybe the best team in the tournament when fully healthy. So that will be a challenge for Texas as well. So I would not guarantee a Final Four team for the Big 12.
So who was the number one rated team?
It was Houston. Houston's been number one in my system since I think like mid-December, something like that. They've been the betting favorite in Vegas since like late November. They play in, you know, a little bit of obscurity, playing in the American Conference this year. Not, you know, a super tough schedule. But when you look at who they've beaten and how bad they've beaten them, they've been very good. They do have their top scorer is hurt, and that is a big issue. Their top scorer, Marcus Sasser, pulled his groin in the American Conference tournament. And
that's bad.
Just saying that out loud is painful. And if people out there saw the play where he did it, it was a legit pulled groin. So
and he was done instantly.
Yeah, you know, there's little conversations, you know, and on the dark web, I think that you know, he will be ready for the, you know, their first game in the tournament. I doubt he will play this week, and I have no inside information, but just knowing what I know about pulled groins, you don't want to rush that back. They're Houston miserable. Can probably win without him, you know, the first two games. So if he can get back by the second week, I still like Houston's chances a lot.
Well, they would have to get through NKU as a 16 seed. Fingers crossed for them against NKU. And then they're going to have to either beat Iowa or Auburn in the second round.
Yes, and
how good are Iowa and Auburn?
I just don't see them being the type of teams that'll challenge Houston. Iowa is, if people are familiar with the history of Iowa under Fran McCaffrey, they've always had an outstanding offense and a mediocre defense, and this year they have an outstanding offense and even a worse than mediocre defense. So I'm not too worried about that. And Auburn's been a bit up and down, but they too just have you know, a lot of deficiencies and kind of got beat up pretty good in SEC play.
Excuse my ignorance on this, but if they get through those first two games, then that essentially gives him another week of rest, right?
Correct, yeah. So if they can get through these first two games, you know, they're playing Thursday, Saturday. If they get by that, then they get a break until either the following Thursday or the following Friday. So, yeah, that'll be well-needed rest.
That's critical.
Right.
If you can get through it, because that groin, giving that groin just another week, and then maybe you can get them on the court, but that it's so critical to a basketball player, especially one that's so active at the rim like he is.
Right, for sure. And it's, you know, it's the type of injury that I think if you're not close to 100% when you come back, you can pretty easily aggravate it. So you can certainly roll the dice against Northern Kentucky and get by without him. Against an Auburn or an Iowa, you know, it's going to be a little more dicey. But, you know, they played their semifinal game against Cincinnati. He got injured pretty early in that game, and they just destroyed Cincinnati, who's a, you know, pretty decent team. So so they can still be pretty good without him. But they obviously, when they're playing, you know, top 10, top 20 teams, they would definitely need his services.
Okay, so I've got three teams circled that I want to talk to you about. I want to start with Alabama. All kinds of controversy surrounding Alabama. I mean, the type of controversy you just can't deal with. The horrific things that have happened. A basketball player that's been kicked off the team, implicated in murder charges, and another one that was left on the team that apparently brought the gun to the murder scene. With all of these distractions that are heaped on Alabama, do you see them being able to dismiss those distractions and play at the level they played through their conference championship with?
Yes. So, you know, this incident happened early in the season, late November-ish, and so they've been really dealing with this issue ever since then. The stuff about Brandon Miller, who's really he's definitely the best freshman in the country, maybe, you know, one of the best players overall in the country. The story with, you know, the details with him you know, essentially driving the gun to the murder scene, those details did not come out until sometimes I think late January, early February. Although the Alabama program obviously knew it before then, but when they became public, that's when this kind of blew up. And you know, Brandon Miller's not going to be suspended. We know that. They didn't suspend him already. He's not in any legal danger, apparently. The charges won't be filed against him. So he's not going anywhere. You know, the Alabama coaching staff, athletic department, has not handled the situation well publicly with their public comments. But that said,
head coach included.
Yeah, head coach included, made some, you know, pretty kind of cavalier comments regarding the situation. But that said, I don't see it affecting them. In fact, I could almost see it internally. You know, they just kind of band together and maybe are a little more united and feel like the media is treating them unfairly, and maybe it gives them a little extra motivation. But I really don't see the distraction angle, even though they will get asked about this at every game. I don't see the distraction angle affecting them too much.
Well, because the game after all of this came out, didn't Brandon Miller set a season scoring record, not right. just for a freshman, but for anybody?
Yeah, the 41 points, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the kid is an outstanding basketball player, and that has not changed since, you know, all these details came out. It's a shame because they're a super fun team. I mean, the style they play is up-tempo. They shoot a lot of threes. Brandon Miller is super exciting. They have a number of other freshmen that have done very well. I mean, they're really an oddball team in this tournament, and that, you know, you look at the most experienced teams in college basketball, like, so many of them have made the tournament. The trick to being good now with the 50-year seniors is just get a bunch of older players. But Alabama has gone the other way, and they're still relying on freshmen and doing very well with them. So it's just, you know, if this cloud wasn't hanging over them, they'd be a very easy team to root for. And as it is, you know, you feel, you know, a little bit dirty kind of cheering for them.
The other team I've got circled I wanted to talk to you about is a 2-seed in the Midwest who's gone through controversy themselves, losing Coach Beard and having a first-time head coach take over at Texas. Can Texas get through this when you're losing a coach and going through this as a 2-seed in that Midwest bracket against Houston? Can Texas find their way through it?
I think so. I do like Texas. Ronnie Terry took over for Chris Beard early in the season, and he had previous head coaching experience at UTEP, and he's done a great job with them, you know, really leading them to an outstanding season. Like, if you didn't know there was a coaching change, you couldn't really look back at their season and detect, like, any change in how they played. Like, they've been just solid all the way through the year, top 10 team. And I do think they can go far. They, too, have injury issues. Timmy Allen has been out. People probably know Timmy Allen from his time at Utah a few years ago. But he has been out for the last three games with an injury. He may be back. But I like their draw. It's pretty friendly. You know, they would meet up with Houston potentially in the Elite Eight. I think that would be an outstanding game. But, yeah, I do think the Longhorns are kind of a sneaky quasi-underdog pick in that region to come out of it.
Possibly a Texas A&M matchup in the second round for them.
That would be juicy, yeah.
Do you think they put that together kind of in a hopes and effort of something like that? Or does it just fall in place?
Yeah, like it's, you know, this bracket is so complicated to put together, and there's so many little rules about how to match up teams and what regions they can go in. Yeah, I don't think there's any forethought, but
just random
that would be
matchup.
That would be a really interesting game.
Texas A&M, that'd be a 2-seed versus a 7-seed. A&M's got to get past Penn State.
Penn State just played four games in 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now they got to play on Thursday. So Texas A&M also played on Sunday, but they just had to play three games in a row. So Penn State might be a little bit gassed. I would probably take Texas A&M in that one.
I'll hold my next team for our next segment. I'm really interested to get your thoughts on this one, but we've got a lot more coming up. We're going to help you continue to get ready for your brackets. Get your bracket out. Get ready. Or pull up your bracket at KSLSports.com, and you can kind of follow along with this as Ken and I continue to talk about these tournament teams, some of the matchups. We're going to go through some of the seeded matchups, how you would take a potential seed, especially the play-in seed. I saw your tweet a little bit earlier today. So we'll talk about that tweet that Ken Pomeroy sent out and get those brackets all ready to go. We're hanging out at Sound Sleep Medical, hanging out with Melissa. Melissa, I want to reach out to the people that have already been diagnosed with sleep apnea and tell them there is a better way to fight sleep apnea, and it is this oral appliance. Tell them what this oral appliance can do for them.
Great question. You know, a lot of people, again, think the CPAP machine is their only choice, and if they can't handle it, then they'll just give up and not treat their sleep apnea. But the oral appliance is a custom-made mouthpiece. We have 3D digital scanners in each of our offices, so we make it the perfect size, perfect fit for you. It's kind of like bleach trace. You just wear it on your teeth during the night. You're not locked together. You can still talk and drink water, but they're designed in a way that will stabilize your lower jaw. Sleep apnea and heavy snoring, it's all about your lower jaw, you know, falling back against your airway. Many of your listeners have probably noticed that sensation happen when they start to fall asleep. But you stabilize that jaw to keep the airway open, then the oxygen levels stay up, the apnea goes away, and so does the snoring.
It's just so important. It's important. The work that you guys are doing is important. And there's so many people that deal with sleep apnea and don't even realize that they have it. You're waking up with headaches, or you know that you snore all night, or you're waking up a little bit disoriented, or you're waking up in the middle of the night, or you catch yourself not breathing in the middle of the night. 801-285-9731. You call Sound Sleep Medical. That's 801-285-9731. And Melissa, you've got a special opportunity for our listeners.
We do. It's a great deal today. You will get a free sleep screening. This means at home in your own bed, you get to essentially test to find out if you have sleep apnea. But in addition, again, free, no obligation, a free sleep consultation. This is where you get to sit down with one of our sleep specialists to get your results in one of our 7 offices. And there may be a lot of people out there that think, so what? I snore, no big deal. But you know, Hans, recently I have met with too many people who come to us sent by their cardiologist, and they come because they've had a stroke. And now they believe, you know, that the sleep apnea may be contributing to that situation. And that's the wrong order. We should be seeing people, obviously, and preventing the stroke before it happens. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal. If you're snoring and you think it's not affecting you or your sleep partner, it is.
801-285-9731, the free sleep screening and the free sleep consultation to the first 50 callers. We still have plenty of slots, so call now. It's got to be before the end of the show. 801-285-9731. Get your phone ready. That's 801-285-9731. Call now. Get it set up. There's 7 offices across the Wasatch Front, all the way up north to Ogden, all the way down south to Provo, and everything in between to make it really convenient for you. Let's get it fixed. Do it today. 801-285-9731. More with the great Kim Pomeroy coming up next.
Wherever you go, the Zone will be right there with you every step of the way. It's the all-new KSL Sports App.
I love it.
Where you can listen to the Zone wherever you may be.
Listen to me, this stuff is available everywhere.
It's your new home for streaming the Zone and getting all the latest news, insight, and analysis of the teams you can't live without. It's the all-new KSL Sports App. Available now wherever you shop for apps.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
On behalf of the great Kim Pomeroy hanging out with us for the hour, I'm going to give away a couple of Jazz tickets just because he's cool enough to come do this for us.
Man, you're a real giver, Hans.
Well, I wish I would add a $50 gift card to give to him. That was nice of you. He likes you more than me right out of the gates. It's a Team 49 Tuesday. Caller 12 at 801-575-9663. You're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Utah Jazz take on the Portland Trailblazers on March 22nd. at the Vivint Arena. So just the 12th caller, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-9663. Get your Jazz tickets. Utah Jazz have been fascinating this year, haven't they been, Ken?
They have, yeah. It's all about kind of looking towards the future. So it's an exciting time.
What was you just looking back at any type of college? And I know nowadays it goes past college. We were just talking about, I wish Victor Wembanyama or the Thompson Twins were in this tournament so we could get a better look at some of the potential draft picks coming up. But what was Walker Kessler like the year before jumping into the NBA and ending up eventually with Utah Jazz?
He was a shot blocking machine. I mean, he literally posted one of the best shot blocking rates that we've ever seen at Auburn. So yeah, he was that was really his specialty. He wasn't necessarily as skilled of an offensive player as we've seen, you know, during his rookie season. He really expanded his game in that sense, but the rim protection was always there and always elite. Yeah.
So when you saw that the Utah Jazz were getting his rights in that trade, did you instantly think, ooh, that might be a good one? Or did you think, there's some limitations offensively? What were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, kind of like that. I mean, there was something there. Like, it was it was definitely an intriguing acquisition, given his rim protection and given, you know, who he had to replace, obviously. Yeah, offensively, I didn't have high expectations about him, but that's the fun part of this business is that, you know, yeah, 19, 20-year-old guys, you can't really project which one's going to, you know, suddenly develop like he did. So it's really neat to see.
His movement on the court is just fluid and athletic.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that size, to watch him move the way he moves.
And he's a quick learner. Like, he seems to, not make the same mistake twice. He really picks up things quickly.
Well, I teased that I had another team that I was really interested in getting your thoughts, and it's the number 40 team overall, a 10 seed in Utah State, taking on number 7 seed Missouri. Give me your thoughts on Utah State's chances in the first round against Missouri.
Well, the Aggies hit the jackpot in terms of their matchup. So first of all, I have Utah State ranked 18th in my system. So clearly, I think a little bit better than your typical 10 seed.
Wow.
Yeah, and then Missouri is a 7 seed. I've ranked 51st. So one of the weaker 7 seeds you'll ever see in a bracket.
So they did actually hit the jackpot. And I did see Vegas has Utah State as a 1.5, or now it's a 2-point favorite.
Right. Yes, and for good reason. You know, one of the issues with Missouri is their defense is incredibly weak. They're 167th in the country in defense, so really one of the weakest defenses in the entire at-large pool. And in particular, they allow a lot of 3-point attempts. And if you followed the Aggies all season, you know that they shoot the three extremely well, top 10 in the country in terms of 3-point percentage. They should get some good looks. I mean, I'm not saying Missouri is just going to let Stephen Ashworth fire away open threes, but they will get some good looks. And so it's really, they say the NBA is a make or miss league. This is kind of a make or miss game. If Utah State can make 40% of their threes in this game, they're a pretty good bet to advance.
Okay, fingers crossed. I want them to advance. I do. There's a part of me that doesn't, because I want Scotty home. So I'm selfish with that.
Fair enough.
So I'd like to get Scotty home as quickly as possible, but I do want them to advance. Let's say they get that first round win over Missouri and they end up taking on number 2 Arizona. That's if number 2 Arizona can get by number 15 Princeton, I believe.
Right.
How good is Arizona this year?
Yeah, Arizona's really good. I have them ranked 10th. In particular, 4th on offense. They do struggle a little bit on the defensive end. They're definitely no Missouri, but they're the rare team that plays kind of two traditional bigs in Umar Ballo and Azulis Tabellis. And so defensively, they can be exploited. Those guys are not going to be able to, switch on smaller offensive players. That's not something necessarily that Utah State is going to be able to take advantage of particularly well, however. So it would be a really tough matchup going against Arizona, heavily dependent. Again, when you have the three ball, like, you can take down the Giants, certainly. So, you can't rule that out. But I do think that's a much, much tougher matchup for the Aggies.
So Utah State placed as the 40th team in this bracket. You have them as the 18th. What attributes of this USU team has them bumped up so much higher on your list?
You know, it really it comes down to, you know, like I said, you know, offensive and defensive efficiency, that scoring margin. I mean, they won games usually pretty big and against quality opponents in many cases. And when they lost games, they often were close and a lot of times on the road. So so that, you know, that indicates that a team that's better than the record. You know, when we're trying to predict hands, it's actually way more useful to look at scoring margin than just to look at wins and losses. So when the selection committee is bracketing, they're looking at wins and losses. And so that's how Utah State ends up with the 10 seed, although I feel like the way the committee uses wins and losses is kind of discriminatory against teams from conferences like the Mountain West and lower conferences. So they're just looking at wins and losses. When I'm doing my ratings, I'm looking at, hey, how much did you beat these teams by? And that gives you a little bit better accuracy in terms of predictions.
The great Ken Pomeroy joining us. You can go to kenpom.com and you can take in all his great information. If you love college basketball, it is the number one site for all things college basketball. It's crazy because it got to the point where selection committees are looking at Ken Pom rankings saying, all right, how can this affect some of our judgment and decision? How complimentary is that when you know the work that you're putting in has influence?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely an honor. You know, when I started doing this, it wasn't my goal to get to that point. But it certainly is kind of neat that, you know, the NCAA feels good enough about my work to, include it in their work and
that's incredible.
Picking the bracket. Yeah.
What was your goal when you started in?
I don't know that I had a goal. I'm not a person that has like long range plans.
Goals.
Yeah. I always fail the job interview when they ask me, you know, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Like, I don't know. So it was just one of those things. It was a neat hobby. I love programming. I love numbers. And I just kind of push it a little further every day.
I see myself with a mega website that influences the NCAA tournament selection.
Who would say that, right?
Where do you see yourself?
Exactly.
When did this start to take off for you? When did you know, oh, man, this is catching some real speed?
The real turning point, so I started doing this pretty seriously, I'd say, like 2004, end of the 2003-04 season. But the real turning point was in 2010, the 2010 tournament. Butler made a surprising run to the championship game, coached by Brad Stevens. And he had mentioned after, you know, I don't know, their third or fourth win that, you know, one of the first things he does after the game, you know, to scout the next opponent is go to my website.
Wow.
And, so that, you know, there's obviously a lot of people that are resistant to kind of newfangled analytics for whatever reason. And I try not to take offense to that. But it's one thing for me to be like, hey, I think you should use this. This is really useful. People are like, who are you? But when Brad Stevens says it, then, it really does get credibility in the media and with fans. And so that was, really a huge moment for my work.
All right, let's jump into this a little bit and help people with their brackets. As an expert in this field, Ken, do you ever take a 16 over a 1?
I've never taken a 16 over a 1, Hans. I do admire people who take that risk. I do. I mean, I will take risks in my bracket. I like to have fun with it. I don't always like to go exactly by the numbers because there will be upsets, and it's kind of neat to be on board when a team does pull off that upset, but the chances of a 16 beating a 1 are so low that I've never had the guts to do that.
We have one sample size of it, is that right?
We have one win in the history of basketball, and that was UMBC over Virginia in 2018. And
they were the number one seed, weren't they?
They may have been, yeah. They were, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're exactly right. So, I mean, it was quite the moment. And we should point out, obviously, Ryan Odom, of course, coaching that team, UMBC, now the coach at Utah State. Dan Akin, who was a key contributor for Utah State this year, was on the floor for that game, playing for UMBC. So there still is a connection in this tournament to that game.
Coach Odom has done a fantastic job with Utah State, keeping the momentum that Craig Smith was able to build. All right, let's move to a 215. Do you ever take a 215? A 15 to advance?
I don't think I've ever taken a 215. However, I could see it happening this year. I don't know exactly which one, but when you look at a couple of the matchups, you know, we talked about Texas earlier. They're playing Colgate, who is a 15 seed. And their last three tournaments, they've been a 14 seed twice and a 15 seed once. In every one of those games, Colgate has had a lead well into the second half. That's a team. I think Arkansas, Tennessee, and Wisconsin are the three teams that they've played against in those three games. And so don't be surprised if that game is close for a while. Colgate's very experienced. Matt Langel, their head coach, widely rumored to be getting a better job after this year. It just has them as a machine. And then the other game that's interesting is UCLA and UNC Asheville. UCLA playing a little shorthanded on the front line. UNC Asheville has a player by the name of Drew Pember, who's an outstanding big man, transferred from Tennessee. He leads the country in fouls drawn per minute, and he could really put a dent in that UCLA front line, which is very thin. It actually happened to UCLA against Arizona, where their top two bigs fouled out, and Jaime Jaquez, who's not a center, had to play center late in that game. Could see a replay of that. I mean, UCLA and Texas should win those games, but those are kind of interesting storylines to follow.
So we'll fast forward to the play-in 11 seed versus a 6 seed. I saw your tweet, and this is where things start to get kind of interesting.
Right. Yeah. Certainly, you know, between the 6 and the 11, you know, the 11 seed has had a lot of success against the 6 seed. In particular, there's usually one of the first four teams has made a deep run in recent seasons. You look at some of these teams like a Mississippi State or a Pitt or an Arizona State or a Nevada, and they don't necessarily look like the sexiest teams this year. But, you know, you win that first game, and the 6 seed really doesn't have a chance to prepare for who they're playing exactly until they know the outcome of that game. So it's a little bit of a disadvantage for the 6 seed. So some of those 11 seeds in those play-in games are maybe a little bit better options than you might realize.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up our bracket talk, hopefully getting you ready for this NCAA tournament, see if we can help you out in your office pool a little bit. Ken Pomeroy, the great KenPom.com, hanging out with us. You can go check out his website. It will give you all the information that you need if you want to make some educated picks. That's KenPom.com. We'll come right back with some of our final thoughts on tournament play next.
So, you think you know everything about college basketball?
The month being March and the topic being
college basketball.
All right, Einstein.
Word away.
Time to put that knowledge to the test. It's the KSL Sports Bracket Mayhem Challenge, where you can compete against your friends, family, and the Zone Sports Network staff. KSL Sports Bracket Mayhem is presented by Burt Brothers. One-stop shop for complete auto care. Done better. Fill out your bracket now at KSLSports.com.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love.
I just need one more hour. One more hour, Ken.
Let's do it.
Lloyd, can you let the boys of Unraveled know? Just take their first hour. Ken and I sitting back talking some college basketball. Him talking professionally about it, me talking ignorantly about it, but both of us coming together to provide information for so many people out there. All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty, Ken. Give me your final four.
All right, well, you see my bracket.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty empty. I do have final four teams in here, but they are put in very lightly in pencil. But here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. We got Houston out of the Midwest. We got UConn, University of Connecticut, out of the West. Purdue out of the East. And we're going to go with Arizona out of the South.
Okay. So you and I have two similars. I've got Houston and Purdue. You've got Connecticut coming out of the West, you said?
Yes.
And who out of the East?
We got Purdue out of the East, Arizona out of the South.
Oh, so you are believing in Arizona.
I'm going to go with Arizona, yes.
Buying some of the Arizona.
I like Tommy Lloyd. I like Tommy Lloyd, yeah. I think they've got a good ball club.
How much weight do you put into coaching in tournament play?
To some extent, I do. You know, one team that is really underrated in my ratings is Tennessee. They're a 4 seed and they're 5th in my ratings. And so normally that would be a team I'd love to pick to go deep, especially because they're in a weak region. But you look at the history of their head coach, Rick Barnes, and it's like every year, man, they either disappoint based on their seed or they maybe just play to their seed level. They never overachieve. And so I just couldn't pull the trigger on them this year.
So in the most light pencil possible, who do you have as your champion?
Very light pencil. I have Houston over Arizona.
Houston over Arizona in the finals. There you go. Straight from the mouth of Ken Pomeroy, the best when it comes to college basketball. Ken, thank you. Really appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks, Hans.
The hours go fast, don't they?
They do. They sure do. I could talk basketball all afternoon.
Yeah, I could do it with you, man. I there's not many I could talk basketball, college basketball with for that period of time, but I could sit here for hours with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you a million times. And can you please make a public statement? You did get the gift that Lloyd sent to
you. I did get the very generous gift that Lloyd sent to me, so I greatly appreciate that. I might go out and buy some golf lessons.
Lloyd, take that cut and put it in the file so that you have it for all time and eternity to know.
Filed away.
I actually passed on the gift that you gave me to give to Ken. Big thanks to Ken Pomeroy. Big thanks to Mike Smith. Fantastic stuff from both of them. You can catch it all at kslsports.com. You can download the podcast. You can catch the entire show in podcast form just by searching Hans and Scotty. Any podcast provider, Apple, Google, any of them, you're going to be able to find the show and download the whole thing and catch up with it. We have been live at Sound Sleep Medical hanging out with Melissa. Melissa, one final chance for our listeners to call in for the free sleep screening and the free sleep consultation. 801-285-9731. If you're out there and you've ever wondered if you have sleep apnea, this is a chance for them to find out for free from the professionals. Right, Melissa?
Absolutely. If you are snoring, then you need to do this test. It is a way for you to know whether your snoring is actually something more serious like sleep apnea. Chances are you're stopping breathing during the night and you have no idea. You know, we get these test results back and people stop breathing for up to 2.5 minutes. And again, they are completely unaware. You can just imagine what that does to your oxygen levels, which then affects your brain and your other, you know, body systems. It's really serious stuff. We're offering this at-home sleep screening today, absolutely free, no obligation. Go to try and do it at a hospital or a lab. You're looking at thousands of dollars and months of a waiting list.
You know, there have been a couple of different indicators for people that I've known that have come in and gotten this oral appliance, the Sound Sleep Medical device. And one of them was Scotty, who would wake up with headaches and just wake up and have a terrible headache. One of them was Lloyd. He would wake up and just mad and hate everybody and be mean to people. And he needed to improve that. He needed to improve his behavior, especially with his coworkers. But people deal with different symptoms. What we want you to do is identify those symptoms for you or your significant other. If your wife is waking up and she's got a headache, if you're waking up and you don't have patience with the kids or you don't have patience with your wife, 801-285-9731. Let's get to the bottom of it. And then you get this oral appliance, and that is what is going to help you sleep sound, right, Melissa?
It's a simple fix. Again, it's just like a custom-made mouthpiece. It's been studied and proven to work. That's why most major medical insurance will pay for this. It also qualifies for HSA, flex spending. And if you're unlucky in those two categories, we do 0% financing for people who need it.
We love Sound Sleep Medical. I love this partnership. I love it because it helps our listeners. And so really appreciate you, Melissa, and really appreciate Sound Sleep Medical. 7 Utah offices from Ogden to Provo. Call them, 801-285-9731. Get your free sleep screening and your free sleep consultation right now, 801-285-9731. The Boys of Unrivaled next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.